Benzinga's Cannabis Capital Conference returns to Miami Beach on April 11th and 12th. I may be biased, but I'm telling you, this event is a can't miss. Join us to build the foundation of your next game-changing deal with CEOs and decision-makers from leading companies in the industry. We're talking about the next wave of businesses, strategies from the most profitable businesses, and exactly what investors are looking for in a challenging market. Go to bzcannabis.com to meet your next investor, co-founder, and new friends. A little pro tip from me, right now tickets are $1,000 cheaper than prices at the door. Get yours now. Guys, he's back. He is back. Our international man of mystery, the Argentinian action figure himself, glasses so he can see into the eyes of your soul. Javier Hasse is back with us, my friend. Welcome back from vacation, a well-deserved time.
Are you trained in radio, or what's the deal? And by the way, I feel very, very compelled to rap a little bit, you know, the Eminem song. That's why they call me Slim Shady. I'm back.
Y'all, you got to stay around for this. Change agent, what up? Glad to have you back. Drop a one in the chat if you want at the end of this episode for Javier Hasse to leave us with a rap. You have to stay around. You have to stay around, but drop a one in the chat if you want Javi to rap. And Javi, it's too late.
Well, maybe.
You can't disappoint your fans. The public, exactly. Your fans, they're here. We already have a one in the chat because Change Agent is the bomb. That being said, welcome back. My friend, how was your vacation?
It was great. It was great, honestly. A full week of disconnecting. I hadn't done that since before the pandemic. So it was quite refreshing. I really enjoyed it.
That's a long really time. Nice.
If you haven't visited Argentina, I recommend it thoroughly.
You know what? I would love to. I think that sounds phenomenal. But my friend, you haven't been here for yet this year, have you? Or were you here for one episode? Either way, yes. It has been me flying solo, and I've done my best. I've done my best to hold the candle, but we haven't had the cannabis influencer network, just extraordinaire journalist that you are here with us. So with that being said, I want to give you a little bit of time to wrap a little bit, and not that wrap, but just to go through your thoughts on how last year ended, how this year has begun, some positivity among stocks and some boringness among cannabis stocks, which to me is a positive. But I'm just curious from you, how do you feel? How are you feeling right now?
I'm always optimistic. I think this is an industry that does require patience in general, right? We forget often how fast things are moving and how much we need to do for markets to properly function, to work the way that we're expecting them to work. Of course, we'll continue to see a lot of companies go under. We continue to see layoffs. The markets in general are down right now. It's a bear market for the entire economy. Of course, I do believe that the upcoming Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in Miami, April 11th and 12th, will be a great place to find out how to thrive in a bear market, in a capital-crunched market. Mm-hmm. BZCannabis.com for details, of course. And one of the things that we're seeing a lot, and actually, you know, the first one to spot it really last year was our associate editor for cannabis, Nina Stiniak. Nina said, we're seeing so many lawsuits, right? And for quite a while, most of the lawsuits I was seeing in cannabis were BS, right? They were either some kind of stunt to bring attention, like companies suing the federal government for things they knew they wouldn't win, or suing Facebook when it was very unlikely for them to win, or maybe like a little bit of mislabeling or whatever. But now we're seeing companies suing each other for different things, for lack of payment, for unfair competition. Actually, most of the news that I have for today from the batch of news that I selected are related to legal actions.
Go into it. I know exactly where you're going, and I love it. So go right into it.
So the biggest item, I think, was Dutchie. Mm-hmm. Dutchie is a technology platform powering cannabis commerce. They got a valuation over 3 $1 billion in their last raise. They filed a lawsuit against Akerna, that is K-E-R-N on the NASDAQ. Akerna does tracing, right? Like seed-to-sale tracing and traceability services in general. And what Dutchie is saying is you know, we want a fair playing field in the state or Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, right? They're saying that it is unfair competition and torturous interference from Akerna, as Akerna refuses to open up its state traceability system for integration with cannabis retailers as technology partners, like point of sale systems and stuff like that, right?
So they're suing for the data?
Requiring for open integration with any provider, Dutchie is saying Akerna is not opening up its system.
Got it. Okay, so they're looking for the data. I will say, does Akerna view Dutchie as a direct competitor?
That's a good question. I wouldn't think so.
Well, but Dutchie, just let's all be real here. They're trying to expand their suite of services quite aggressively, we'll say. I think that's a good politically correct way of saying it.
Yeah.
But a huge company, right? But it wouldn't surprise me.
Management, Lipson Brothers stepped down recently, you know, the co-founders.
Forced out, right?
Yeah, sorry?
They were forced out, right? Or was it stepping down?
Yeah.
Now, a little bit of both, a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper. Yeah, a little bit of garlic in there, right? We'll just do the whole souffle.
I really like them too, so I don't want to talk trash.
I'm not talking trash about them.
I'm just curious
about the direction of Dutchie. Like, where are they going right now?
Yeah, they want to go for a full suite of different services. They launched insurance. Remember at MJ BizCon last year in November, we spoke to Ross, and he explained how like insurance fits into their retail and technology model. Like, ultimately, they just want to be like a full suite service provider for cannabis retailers. Whether Akerna sees them as competition or not doesn't matter, right? The state of Pennsylvania, which awarded Akerna the benefit of running this traceability system, which is a big deal because only one company gets to do that, is they're required to have an open system. Right. Mm. And, you know, I like Akerna as well. Right. But they're required to do it. It's not really contestable. So whether they see them as competition or not doesn't matter. Right. Imagine if we didn't allow competing news sites to read Benzinga articles. Right. We had a blocker for anyone working at whatever other company.
We will fight you, MJ Biz. No, I'm kidding. That being said, Javi, I mean, this is great information, man. A really nice insight into that. It's honestly, from my guess, I don't think that lawsuit goes a ton down the road if what you're saying is true. I think that's probably settled outside of court.
We'll find out. Actually, there's one that you mentioned in your podcast today, another legal situation that was pretty funny. Can you tell the audience
that was fun? I also want the opinion of our guest today, who, y'all, stick around. We have an awesome guest, CEO and co-founder of SunMed and your CBD store, Marcus Quinn. Huge CBD play. Very excited to talk to him. But can we talk about Nike versus a Texas hemp pharma? It was at Revive Technologies, or Revive something Technologies, but they're using just hemp it, which, first of all, we can do better, y'all. Come on, hemp it.
It's not a great tagline.
Not a great tagline for you. You're obviously playing off Nike. I don't know how to tell you that was a bad idea. But that being said, Nike said, sorry, bro, you can't do that. So they are filing a challenge. I don't necessarily think that's directly going to court quite yet, but I got to tell that Texas hemp farmer, like, face to face, bro to bro, find a new slogan, my friend.
Yeah, or at least like, they want to trademark it too, right? Like, maybe if they just went out with a small campaign and social, whatever, Nike wouldn't really care, right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't mind. Now, if you want to trademark something that is exactly the same, right? And there's many similar cases actually in cannabis where companies want to feel clever and they want to play off different names. There's a big food delivery service, right? Like Uber Eats down here in Latin America called Pedido Ya, which means like my delivery now. And a company, for instance, wanted to do a service called Pedidos Ya, like J-A-H, like a pun with a Rastafari deity. And of course they couldn't, right? And there's many of those cases, of course, in cannabis in the U.S. as well. But that one just came to mind. It was like,
Well, we need.
I know you're being clever, but you're just like buying yourself.
We're starting to see an influx of new marketing minds into this. You know, you think of like a Madison Fiore from Fiore Matteo Ventures, like, you know, great mind, has outside marketing expertise. You see a lot of these firms kind of diving into cannabis, helping out. That's much needed. Because honestly, a lot of cannabis products have played off the success of other CPG products in order to get noticed and bought. And that obviously has been shut down in the last however long year or so. But it's nice to see new products. I mean, you can see over my left shoulder over here, right here, this is Verano. This is like their, like, it's like a cool edibles brand that they've created. I love it. You know, so there's like some cool marketing happening for brands, but overall, if you take a slogan from an internationally known company, one of the largest companies in the world, you're probably like gonna get hit.
Remember when someone tried to use Borax on a highway billboard, hoping that yeah. he wouldn't. It's like, dude, that's ridiculous.
That was a Massachusetts operator.
You reminded me of something. Actually, I want to shout out our good friends at Trailblaze, Lisa Wesser, Alice. Mm-hmm. You know, they got acquired by Acceleration Community of Companies. This is a group of different, like, you know, creative agencies. And they incorporated Trailblaze. I don't know, like you mentioning Matteo Fiore plus a new creative minds from other industries coming into the cannabis industry reminded me of this very cool acquisition that, from what I heard, was a year in the works.
Well, speaking of, we will be hosting Alice Moon on this podcast in March. Very excited. She is a LinkedIn cannabis influencer, really well known in the space. If you know Alice, you know how excited we are to have her on. That being said, I don't think we've announced this yet, but Javi, in all of March, for Women's History Month, we will only be interviewing women leaders in cannabis. So excited for that. We are going to get new perspectives, new personalities on here. We just confirmed the CMO of Flora Growth Corp, Jesse Kastner. I just cannot tell you how much I respect her knowledge in this space. We have guests all lined up throughout March. It's going to be amazing.
A very weird lead-in for this next announcement, which is an exclusive and will start sounding very weird and creepy, but it will take an interesting turn real
fast. Should I shut this down? I don't know.
No. I'm going to say, talking about women, .. Now, for
this
real.
This is getting
talking
creepy.
Talking about women, the Benzinga Psychedelics Advisory Council just added 6 new members to its roster, all of them women.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Did you see the turn I just did there?
That was good. That was good. It did start out creepy. You know, you sold that correctly in every sense of the word there. And I appreciate the genuine transparency. That being said, we need to get to our guest. So with Aaron Thomas might throw something at us through the screen if we don't. So with that being said, please stay around, y'all. We might get Javier to rap after the show here. It's going to happen. You got to stick around. But with that being said, Marcus Quinn, CEO, co-founder of SunMed. Let's bring him on over. There he is, Mr. Quinn. How are you, sir? Welcome in.
Good, man. I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. It's exciting to have you on. So not to jump right in, I want your story. I want, you know, why you are in CBD, why you jumped into hemp and cannabis industry to begin with. But you're like the giant I've never heard of in that sense. You have 450 stores.
Daily giant.
So like, you're huge. But like, I mean, I'm pumped to know you, but I'm just shocked at like that I haven't heard of you before.
Okay. A lot there to digest. Yeah. So, I can start with how I got in, and it was really, on accident. My wife was introduced to CBD, and, she has Crohn's disease. And, after a pretty long, maybe 3-4 year battle of a lot of digestive issues and problems that she was having, a friend of hers was like, "Oh, you should try CBD." And she did, and it was one of the first things that really gave her any type of relief, and so it made a huge impact on our family. And her friend who had introduced her to it was selling it out in Missouri. And so we're in Florida. And so, you know, my wife was feeling much better and she hadn't been working. And so she decided to open a little CBD store kind of down the road from our house back in 2018. And it just started to do really well, really fast. And so that's kind of how I got in. You know, I started to see the success that she was having and realized that there was a, you know, potentially a much bigger opportunity. And, you know, was reaching out to some of my friends and colleagues and things like that. I have a direct sales background. And, you know, by the end of the 2018, we had opened 80 stores. And it just kind of all started to go really quickly from there. And in 2019, we grew almost to 400. And so it was kind of like being strapped to the front of a bullet train, if that makes sense, right? And, you know, so in the middle of all this, we were trying to figure out, you know, how to make a brand and figure out the branding and the manufacturing piece and all the different products that continually, you know, started to come out as the industry started to grow, and then the legislative piece. And, you know, so it was a pretty busy couple years. And so, you know, for us, the pandemic kind of allowed us to slow down a little bit and just really focus on the foundational side of our business. And that's probably what we've been doing the last couple of years. So
I'm very curious as to, like, how do you open 80 stores? Like, how do you capitalize? Is it like a franchise model? Because,
well, we started out with like a licensing agreement. So we were licensing the name, the look, you know, with an agreement to buy the products from us. And now we're a franchise. We have, 290 some franchise locations out of our 470 locations total. But we're franchising in all 50 states. And so that was another thing that we kind of started doing during the pandemic. We started franchising, flipping our licensing agreements to franchise.
That's awesome. I'm curious, you know, you said during the pandemic, you know, you were able to work on more of your efficiency, your operational prowess. I'm curious, what was that? Like, what, you know, you slowed down, it sounds like somewhat decently in opening storefronts, but what did you do to increase maybe profitability or increase, you know, how those stores run and maybe consumer trust within that?
Sure. So, I mean, a lot of it was just internal, you know, just adding piece support, you know, because you've got all these stores and they're all buying products, but they need support, right? They need help. They need training. They need business, you know, school, really, for that matter, help. You know, I mean, when you're dealing with, I think we have 340 different owners, you know, I mean, they come in all different types of sizes, range, and, you know, and knowledge base as far as, you know, some people need to know how to pay their sales tax, whereas other people are, you know, very seasoned business professionals and can operate 10 stores and you never hear from them. And so really just kind of going in and taking a different approach and looking at it like, we want to be a turnkey business for anybody, you know, that has the capital to come in that wants to be involved in the industry. And so what does that mean? And what are all the different buckets that we need to fill in order to be able to be that for maybe, you know, a single mom who hasn't really been in the workforce that wants to open up her own business. So, you know, we have to have the tools and the support in place for that person to be able to come in and have a successful operation.
I understand the franchise model for the inexperienced business person. But like you said, maybe there's people who franchise your CBD store, or just SunMed stores in general, right? And they open 10 stores. What is the incentive for someone who has business acumen to franchise versus simply do their own thing, right? Like, why spend money on a franchise?
Well, I would say you get a lot more with a national brand. I mean, you know, I know maybe you guys haven't heard of us, but a lot of the places where we have multiple locations, especially in the Southeast, you know, we do have, there is a brand and it is a recognizable brand. And so then we're also doing things that you probably wouldn't do if you were just the 10 store owner in, say, Atlanta, Georgia. Like, you know, we're meeting with state representatives, we're meeting with lawmakers and congress people, and we're back behind the scenes and we're lobbying, we're calling, you know, we're reaching out to local municipalities if they have questions about legalities of different things. And so there's a lot of support pieces that go on in the background. And then also we, you know, have a full service website and email marketing and, you know, just some corporate national marketing that we can do, you know, at a national level that is more than what you would probably be able to do if you just had one or two or three just local stores. And so you know, there's a lot of advantages. Same reason why, you know, you would buy a Chick-fil-A and not open a Joe's Chicken Shop, right?
I'll take Chick-fil-A right now if you got any. But I have a couple follow-up questions for you, man. And I hope you don't take offense by the fact that, you know, we didn't know you, because I am super impressed by what you've built. But I think we very focused on the marijuana side on the podcast. So, you know, it's really nice to expand out further and see, you know, the other side of what this is, hemp, you know, how the businesses are competing, you know, how you're growing, you know, what customer retention like, what's data like, what's basket size like. But really, you know, just to kind of narrow it down to a few questions, I'm interested in A, the product on your shelves. Is that provided by you? Like, do you cultivate? Do you manufacture? Do you provide? I'm curious how much of that product is yours.
Yeah, we manufacture all the products that we sell. And so we have about 180 SKUs, anything from topical to many different gummies, vape, water solubles, beverages. I mean, really, you name it. You know, I mean, one of the things that we have an issue keeping up with is, you know, every time somebody comes out with a new product, you know, and maybe they're just a single company and they just make one product. And, you know, then our store owners are like, oh, my God, you know, we have you know, XYZ product and we want to carry that. And so, you know, a lot of that knee jerk drove some of our product innovations early on, you know, and some of those things worked out good and some didn't. But, you know, I think as far as the comparing the two industries, you know, the line is getting very gray between the marijuana industry and the hemp industry. And that's one of the challenges I think that, you know, that we have is, you know, I think we would be happier with a little bit more of a defined line.
Right. Yeah.
Now, you know, it's especially with all these new synthetics and the Delta 10s and 11s and P's and O's and, you know, QR, whatever it is, you know what I mean? You know, they're finding all these different ways to manipulate it and make it synthetic. And it's, you know, I mean, it makes it very challenging for you to be a good, solid health and wellness brand when you're competing with people that, you know, they just whatever package, whatever, put whatever out on the shelf and, you know, they just don't care. They're going to try to make some money. And if it blows up, it blows up. And we obviously can't take that approach. And then that is, you know, what we're fighting with the legislatures about is, you know, hey, look, we just need to figure out what we are and what the industry is. And then we need to create some good language laws that allow everybody to operate and be, you know, in a clear understanding of what you can and can't do.
You may have just become my favorite person in hemp for saying everything you just said. Sorry, Javi, go ahead.
No, I have two questions. So one is, you know, this week we heard news about Kirsten Bell's CBD skincare brand, The Happy Dance, shutting down. Basically, because people want to get high, that's what they're saying, right? Versus CBD beauty products. And there's some data from Spate that says that Google searches for CBD have fallen by 61% year over year, and skincare related CBD searches have dropped by 87% almost. Are you seeing some of this impact your sales or performance, or what's the situation? What have you seen in the last year, right?
So I think in the last year, that's a great question. You know, our single store unit economics have been fairly flat. But actually, we were anticipating a little more of a decline than what we were seeing. We are now about 72% health and wellness. So, you know, when we have our products and we categorize them and as a lifestyle, which would be our Delta 8, Delta 9 products, right? Products that have those ingredients, and then our health and wellness line, which we would stick to, and some THC, but like more of like a full spectrum tincture, you know, or like a topical. But as far as the skincare goes, we're not huge on skincare. I mean, we do have like a lotion and a couple of face creams that have never been huge sellers for us, but like our topical creams that are aimed for pain relief and things of that nature, those continue to really just stay real strong. I mean, our full spectrum topical cream has always been our best seller, and it continues to be our best seller, you know, even over and above the gummy SKUs. And so, but we have also seen a lot of movement into gummy. Everybody wants gummies now.
And that is actually a good segue for the second question, which is like your partnership with a picket ball. American Picket Ball League, right? I know you're the sponsor of this league, and it ties into this concept of your biggest selling product line being pain relief, right? But can you tell us a little bit about how that comes to be and what you think it means for the industry in general, right? For a sport that is surging in popularity so fast to embrace hemp and cannabis-derived products.
Oh, I mean, I think, well, you know, personally, I am a huge pickleball player.
It's so much fun. We got to play Marcus next time.
And, you know, I've done a few competitions myself. And so that's kind of how we got tied in with the APP. And one of the marketing firms that we were working with had a good relationship with them. And so it was an opportunity about a year and a half ago to sign. We signed a 2-year deal with the APP. And we have, you know, six, you know, title events this year, which was cool because last year we had one. It was like us and then Lexus. We were the two main title sponsors, so made me feel pretty cool. But anyways, I mean, look, I just think I think all sports, I mean, you know, we've seen the MLB and their deal with Charlotte's Web, you know, which was a little rich for me. But, you know, I think that there's a huge place in sports for CBD products. I think it helps with focus on the field. I think it helps with, you know, I mean, it's going to help with inflammation while you're playing sports. It's going to help for recovery. I mean, there's so many different pieces. And so, you know, I mean, I think that's one of the things that's kind of on the top of our list this year for our product development piece is kind of really dialing in and seeing, you know, hey, where can we add some of this stuff in? Because, I mean, I personally think that we have a hydrate product that we made for the APP, and it's you know, it's electrolytes and vitamins, and then, you know, just 10 milligrams of water soluble broad spectrum CBD. And if you drink that while you're playing, for me, it's the perfect combination or the perfect cocktail to, you know, keep me in the game and focused while I'm competing. And so I love it. I love the pair.
That's really cool, man. I just have a couple more questions here. One being with, which is awesome about pickleball. Honestly, I just started playing recently. It's so much fun. But that being said, for the beverage side with your franchises, do you supply them with the ability to, you know, have beverages in store? Is it refrigeration? I'm curious, since you have, you know, franchise owners, how much they need to support beverages in their, you know, their brick and mortars.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, all we have three different SKUs and they're all in a can. So, you know, I mean, we just sell them just like you would sell cans of Coke, you know, stick them in the fridge and they don't have to be refrigerated. You know, and that was kind of our start. They've done really well. We have two of our fuller spectrum products and then one product that has some Delta 8 in it. They've done really well. We're probably going to be moving towards like an energy drink type deal sometime before the year's out, and kind of just try to slowly increase that line. But, you know, I mean, it's not really that challenging. And some of our larger owners, you know, they'll bring them by the pallet to cut down on shipping costs, because one of the biggest issues with beverage is just the logistics and getting into the store. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. And last but not least, you mentioned a little bit of, we'll say, legislative conversations and or I don't want to say directly lobbying, but, you know, just speaking with, you know, local politicians or even federal politicians on occasion. But, you know, when it comes to where hemp is going in your perspective, you know, compared to the marijuana industry, which, you know, obviously on the marijuana side, there's not a great love for Delta 8, you know, in synthetic cannabinoids. And, you know, I guess for good reason, if you're looking from that side, but from the hemp side, what's the future of consumable products there? You know, what is the future? Do we find a middle ground? Do these end up being completely separate? I'm curious what your perspective of the industry's future is.
I mean, man, I wish I had a crystal ball, because it's really hard to say. You know, I think in the very near future, you know, the next probably 2 to 3 years, in my opinion, it's going to be very, very state specific. And you're going to have some states that are going to take a hard, stance against anything that could be considered intoxicating. And they're going to roll all THC, which, in my opinion, if we could just roll all THC into the 0.3, and we could just say, you know, that we would be in a place where we could say, okay, these products, if you eat half the jar, you know, you're going to get intoxicated. But I mean, if you eat half the jar of half the supplements at Walgreens, you're going to get some sort of intoxication. I mean, so, you know, yeah. I mean, defining the word intoxication is another real big issue that, because is Delta 8 intoxicating? Well, I mean, if you take a 5 milligram gummy, you're not going to really be intoxicated. I don't think you would be impaired. But if you take a 300 milligram gummy, you know, you're going to have a hard time having a conversation with yourself, even. Right. So, you know, the problem is that they're just making it so messy. The bad players are making it so messy that nobody knows what to do. And then, you know, the legislators, they don't, you know, the only way they even know about half the stuff that's going on is if something bad happens, right? A little kid ingests something they're not supposed to, or, you know, somebody ends up in the hospital. And so, you know, we're a big proponent of, you know, being conservative, as far as, you know, milligram counts, and, you know, we're not trying to make the biggest gummy you can make so we can jam as many milligrams in it so that, you know, you'll go home and drool on yourself. We're health and wellness first. And I think there is a health and wellness piece of small doses of Delta 8 and Delta 9, where they're really, really super helpful. Like, it may be way more helpful to take some Delta 8 for one person than 5 milligrams of CBN or a full spectrum gummy. You know what I mean? There's different blends for different people. I don't know if that doesn't really answer your marijuana hemp question.
It was a really good answer. You know, and I don't know that we can answer the marijuana hemp question unless you have some insights there, but.
Well, all I was going to say is that, marijuana doesn't want hemp to be involved in any of this. They want all of it for themselves, right?
Yeah.
And then you have some really weird stuff going on, like even like with one of the big hemp advocacy groups, when the whole entire board is all executives from cannabis companies. And it's like, well, wait a minute, because you're telling one story, but who's making the story? Because everybody that is on the board is in the cannabis companies. And so the really one of the big challenges that the industry has right now is we don't have any togetherness, and we've got this wide range of, you know, people that are just blatantly selling, you know, 20 milligram Delta 9 gummies on their website. And you can just, we were just having this conversation earlier. If you put hemp derived in front of it, everything's legal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can now have a, you know, and so things that the dispensary can't even do in the state of Florida a hemp company can put 50 milligrams inside a piece of candy of Delta-9 THC because they wrote hemp derived in front of it. And it's like, okay, well, who's to say where it came from and how it got there, right? And, but anyways, you know, I don't know, man. It's a mess, to be quite honest with you. I've got three full-time people, and all they do is review bills and call legislators and try to make sure that things don't get put inside law that you know, cut us out of the game.
Right. I mean, you have to protect yourself, and you're doing it, and in so doing, you're protecting the rest of the industry as well. So hopefully we can get some community and they can follow your lead and we create some sort of order out of this chaos, my friend. But lots more questions on my end, honestly, but we're running out of time, unfortunately. I do have one more and then I'll let you go. Marcus, consider me a believer in SunMed, man. I really love how you're positioning, you know, hemp and CBD products in this day and age when it's difficult to do so amongst Delta 8 as well as marijuana. But that being said, when you look at market share for yourself in a state like Florida, you know, in the Southeast, do you put yourself as a competitor to Trulieve, to Fluent? You know, do you operate in that same consumer stratosphere, or are you looking at yourself in a different light?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, I think initially I would say yes, that we did. I think that, you know, I think that we can do things in the hemp industry that the marijuana companies can't do, especially with the lower dose formulations, because they're very limited on what they can do with the cannabinoids. Like, what can they mix it with? What can they blend it with? How can they make it? How many milligrams? Okay, so I think that we can make much better therapeutic products than can be made in dispensary outside of the flower. Now, once we get into flower and concentrates, we can't play in that space. And so for me, I see your flower and concentrate customer is that customer that I don't focus on, because the guy that wants to, you know, smoke a joint, he's probably not going to be my customer. You know what I mean? Because I can't service him, right? But the customer that's going in there and they're really looking for, you know, something to help with their anxiety or something to help with their knee pain or their back pain or their chronic whatever or their neuropathy, or, you know, I think that we can provide better solutions for those people. And so yes, there is some, you know, crossover.
Interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see how all this plays out, how we measure this, how you measure success against the marijuana industry, if you do. But that being said, Marcus Quinn, CEO and co-founder of SunMed and your CBD store, really appreciate your time today. It's been super interesting diving into your business model, and I do hope we stay in touch and we get you, you know, speaking to our audience a good bit more, because I think how you're approaching this is the way a lot of companies should be. But that's just my personal opinion. Javier, I think, agrees with me, though. That being said, Marcus, thank you for your time, my friend.
Thanks, and we'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it. Take care.
You too. Javi, that was enlightening, man. I really appreciated that.
Interesting, man. I loved it.
All right. Javi, 1 minute. Wrap.
Are we rapping for real? Aaron, can I use a track, or does it screw up or show if I use like a Dr. Dre instrumental?
I mean, do it. At this point, like, ask, you know, ask for forgiveness, not permission.
I don't know if we can post a show afterwards. Let's try it. Yo, allow me to drop some bars, yo. Talk cannabis legalization.
Yes.
Okay. Let me tell you about the Washington's Secret Fund dedication. We could create a lot of wealth for every state in our great nation, a multiple billion dollar basis of new taxation. And this one is old, so I'm hoping to God Jeff Sessions' tragic misinformation does not confuse the Congress with new to pass legislation, ending the threat to saddle tax burdens and medication. Forget about the show if this is real about the patients. This is a topic I refuse to ignore. opioid epidemic hitting homies real hardcore. We got here at the cost of so many tombstones, leaving cartels to business while damning the good souls. They locked up yours, they locked up mine. But somewhere down the line, we decided if you're white, you get off with a simple fine. The great debate over morals has to wait. That's Baba telling Forrest about Shrimp and Judgment Day. We gotta be pragmatic and focus on what matters. I don't remember how it goes.
I love it. I mean, I haven't heard this with the track before. I think I've heard this rap one other time, but the track, I mean... Oh, I
need to brush
obsessed.
Up on the lyrics, dude. I don't know how I forgot the entire lyrics to my own song.
You are the epitome of perfection. Thank you so much for your gift to me and to our audience. James Ajet, right on, just boom. Drop the mic. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. Benzinga Cannabis Insider, really appreciate you all diving into this with us and, you know, and letting us highlight hemp, letting us highlight compliance. We have so many more amazing guests. We are booked out for the next 3 months.
I was trying to
months.
Add a guest and I'm like, dude, there's nothing.
No, we have no time.
In April.
So we will be adding new content to this channel. Invite your friends, invite your colleagues to watch these shows as well. We do want this to be education centric for you. BZCannabis.com to get your tickets for our Miami show, April 11th and 12th. Joe Donnelly, always appreciate you stopping in, my friend. Really appreciate you. And that being said, y'all have a wonderful rest of your day. Javier, last words to you, my friend.
That's about it. Benzinga.com/cannabis for your daily dose of cannabis news. Don't forget to tune in every morning to Elliot's Cannabis Daily Podcast, the best morning podcast for cannabis news. And once again, bzcannabis.com. Benzinga is coming to Miami. Once again, 16th edition of the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference, Fontainebleau Hotel, April 11th and 12th. Mark your calendars. If you celebrate Passover, we'll make sure to accommodate you. Just come over, leave your family or bring your family. It's the same.
Do the latter.
Is come network, meet people, learn, find investment opportunities, find your next partner. This is where it all happens.
Yeah, buy tickets now before they go up in prices. That being said, y'all, peace out. We will see you again in 2 days, Thursday, 4 Eastern time. Be there, be square. See you then. Change agent, Joe Donnelly. Juliana, appreciate you all.